There's a tshuva by Moshe Feinstein many, many years ago when the pill came out, that he writes very cautiously about publicizing the whole issue of contraception because it may be abused and it may be used in inappropriate situations, and therefore he cautions against talking publicly about it, publishing it in newspapers or in throwaway types of journals. I think times have changed, and today contraception is discussed quite openly, and there are many questions related to it, and I hope that he will forgive me for talking about it publicly. First of all, some principles concerning contraception. There are a lot of methods and approaches to reach the goal for a woman not to become pregnant. Other than abstinence as a form of contraception, all methods today used allow normal sexual intercourse and yet have the woman not have the woman become pregnant. Some of the contraceptive methods, most actually, are used by women. Some can be used by men, and they have different halachic perspectives, what is permissible and what is not, and in what condition. Some can produce permanent contraception, and others cause only temporary infertility, and some require active intervention, whereas others involve only temporary abstinence. These principles, as we will see later, are important from the halachic point of view, how to choose and when to choose different contraceptive methods, which are growing in number and are becoming more prevalent. From a medical point of view, the requirement for a contraceptive method includes the following. It should be without medical side effects and obviously no danger and no long-term damage that is clear from a medical point of view. It should be effective. Otherwise, why do you use it? It should be reversible because a woman usually wants to have children, but perhaps she doesn't want to have them now, or she can't have them now. But we don't want it to become an irreversible process in most circumstances. It should be easy to be used, otherwise the failure will grow. If it's complicated, women will fail. It should not interfere with normal sexual relations, and it should be affordable and readily obtainable. These are reasonable requirements when someone has an idea how to invent a new contraceptive method, he should follow these general medical requirements. So once we understand these very general terms, let's turn to some of the halachic principles. The conditions that concern the prohibition or permissibility of a specific contraceptive method depends on some basic halachic assumptions. First of all, there is a prohibition of emitting semen for naught and the destruction of semen. And in order to avoid this, the method has to be such that it doesn't interfere with this very grave sin of emitting semen for no reason or destructing semen. By the way, the halachic definition of ashchatat zera, of destruction of destructing semen, is only in the way the semen comes out. If it comes out the right way, then even if you destroy it later, it is not a prohibition. The prohibition involves the way the semen was emitted. If it was emitted the right way, it is not ashchatat zera. If it was emitted the wrong way, it is ashchatat zera. So it's not the physical destruction of semen or the physical impossibility of the semen to procreate, because, as we know, we are allowed to emit semen in a regular natural intercourse, even if we are sure that it will never result in pregnancy. For instance, if it's a post-menstrual woman, we are allowed to, not only allowed, we are required to have relationships despite the fact that the semen will not end up with having pregnancy. We emit millions of semen and only one semen goes into an egg and produces a child. All the rest are destroyed. That is not called destruction by halachic criteria. Destruction is only the way it was emitted. So the way semen is emitted, not causing pregnancy, is a very important principle how to use a contraceptive method. Second is the prohibition against castration. A male castration is biblically prohibited. Female castration, according to most poskim, is only rabbinical prohibited. According to Vilna Gaon, it's also biblically prohibited. But to us, it doesn't matter if it's a biblical or rabbinic decree. Lechatchila, we should never do something which is not allowed, whether it's rabbinic or biblical. So whatever causes castration is a problematic matter. The nullification of the precepts of prohibition and populating the world is obviously mutual to all contraceptive methods. If we use a contraceptive, we're actually not allowing to fulfill the mitzvah, the commandment to procreate and to populate the world. You know, there are several levels of the requirement to have children. Biblically, it's a son and a daughter, but really, further on, lo tohu bra, lo shevet yetzara, you should populate the world, and actually, it is from the prophet's decree that we should have as many children as physically and healthy-wise is possible. And there is a precept to have the wife's conjugal rights, and therefore some methods of contraception that nullify this right are problematic from the halachic point of view. So we need to find contraceptive methods that fulfill these halachic principles, and they have to concur with the medical principles that we said before. So we have a complexity of principles that we have to take into account when and if we choose a contraceptive method. So if we look at the contraceptive methods available today, we will find that some are in and of themselves not violating any legal prohibition, except for the fact that it prevents procreation. That will be mutual to all contraceptive methods. But other than that, by itself, some contraceptive methods have nothing wrong with them from a pure halachic point of view. Some of the methods have side effects, which are medical ones, but they become halachic ones because halachically one is not allowed to put himself into danger. And if the method involves danger, then you need a sufficient reason to go into this danger in order to allow this method. Also, some of the contraceptive methods cause intermenstrual bleeding, making the woman nida, and if she becomes nida, she can't have normal intercourse, and then we are violating with her rights to have intercourse at regular times, and that again makes it halachically problematic. Some of the methods are inherently either biblically or rabbinically forbidden, and therefore they can't be used unless, and we'll talk about the unless situations where some of them occasionally may be permissible, but in general, obviously, if they violate biblical or rabbinic prohibitions, you can't use them. And as we said, every method nullifies the precepts of procreation and populating the world, and therefore a specific medical or other indication is required in order to allow contraception at all. There are a whole host of reasons why a woman would choose, or why a couple would choose, to use contraceptive methods. There used to be a philosophical view that the world is so bad that we shouldn't bring children into this world, and better not subject the future generations to an evil world. We know the story about Amram, who said the children of Israel are in Mitzrayim, we shouldn't have any more children, and he divorced his wife. But he did something wrong, and if it would have happened, we wouldn't have Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. So obviously it was mistaken, but this philosophy happened then. The same is the story about Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who prophesied that he'll have a son, Menashe, who will be an evil person, and therefore he abstained from having children in order not to have, at the end, a child that will be a bad person. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Behadikiv shederachmon olam alav," that's not your business. You cannot make the philosophical calculation of an evil world of bad children that will come out. Your obligation is to bring children. So that is a philosophical invalid argument. Family planning, which became a major topic in the world, when you say family planning in pure English, you can plan for having many children and you can plan having no children. But when you say family planning in the current world, you mean only one way, not having children. Planning the family without children. And family planning means to intervene so the children will not be born, for population explosion, for all kinds of reasons that the world is dealing with, some valid in certain countries, but certainly for the Jewish people, family planning in this sense is committing a national suicide. We are so small and we plan to have even less, then we'll just not exist. It's a different story in India or in China. They really have a population explosion problem, and if they want to do family planning in the negative sense, be my guest. But that certainly is not something that we should think about, and therefore, from a population sense, family planning in this sense is an invalid argument. When there is no medical reason or no serious familial reason not to have children, and it is done only for the sake of convenience, that the woman has midterm exams and it's not convenient to have children at that time, or she wants to finish her career and she's waiting many years to have children, this halachically is not an acceptable reason for contraception. So you need medical reasons or semi-medical reasons that can be acceptable to allow contraception in the first place. Now, if the woman is in danger by becoming pregnant or by delivering, then that is clear that she needs to abstain from having children, at least until the danger goes away. Pikuach nefesh of the woman certainly takes precedence over the obligation of the husband to have children. As you know, purvu is an obligation of the man, not of the woman. She is the vehicle to have the man, the husband, fulfilling the mitzvah, but she doesn't have to destroy herself to have the husband fulfill a mitzvah. That is a famous Chatan Sofer and a Meshech Chochma that say that a woman does not have to destroy herself for the sake of her husband to fulfill his mitzvah. So if she is in some kind of danger, medical danger, to become pregnant, or the delivery is expected to be dangerous to her, then she has then there are several options how to deal with it. One is to refrain totally from cohabitation, and obviously if there is full abstinence, she won't become pregnant. Second is to separate or to divorce. She should go to a man that fulfilled already the mitzvah, and he should find a woman that is not in danger of becoming pregnant. The third is to rely on heaven's mercy. Yeah, there is a danger. Hopefully everything will be okay. And the fourth one is to use contraceptives. So the if you go over it halachically, purely halachically speaking, only the usage of contraception is halachically permissible. It is halachically forbidden to refrain totally from relationships. It is halachically unadvisable, or more than that, to divorce. And it certainly is halachically unacceptable to rely on an S. And therefore, in this situation, all these options are halachically, not only from a human point of view, from a humanistic point of view, they are very difficult options to accept, but halachically they are unacceptable, and therefore that is a clear reason to use contraception. Okay, so therefore contraception becomes the only way to use, and then we have to find what is the best contraception method in this situation. Some say, let me just give you a few examples of what we call dangerous pregnancy or delivery. If a woman had a cesarean section, most poskim agree that at least a year following the cesarean section, it is called a danger to become pregnant. So we're not talking about a life-threatening, immediate life-threatening situation where 100% the woman will die. Then you don't need to go so far. A woman had a cesarean section, at least for 1 year, she is considered in a dangerous situation to become pregnant, and she should use contraceptives. If a woman may become mentally ill following childbirth, such as postpartum depression, that is halachically acceptable as a danger to the woman to become pregnant, and she should use contraceptives until she is diagnosed as healthy from a mental point of view. Even severe weakness and nervousness of becoming pregnant and delivering because of life situations of this particular woman has been discussed in the rabbinic literature as a good reason for using contraception. If there is a danger of lower extremity venous thrombosis, and if there is a need to space birth, these are all examples which the poskim use as examples of danger of pregnancy. Now, to understand this concept, because we know that certain contraceptive methods, as I said earlier, inherently are not forbidden, therefore, even lower degrees of danger are enough of a reason to use them. On the other hand, if you would have to use a contraceptive method which by itself is halachically forbidden, then you would require a much higher level of danger to use it. So we are talking about those contraceptives, which I'll enumerate in a minute, that inherently are halachically okay, but you need a reason to use them. These are sufficient reasons to use them. So if we'll go over on some of the, I don't know why it is blocking at the end. Doesn't give the full picture. The pill is something which is universally used since it was invented. And what the pill does is, hormonally, it changes the cycle of the woman so that a pregnancy will not occur. And that might be equated to the Talmudic cup of fruits. The Talmud talks about the possibility of a woman taking by mouth a certain root that they believe that will prevent pregnancy. So taking a pill and taking the root is a very similar, equal process, and according to the Talmud, it's permissible. So if the cup of root is permissible, then the pill is certainly permissible. Why is it certainly permissible? Because the cup of root, according to the Talmudic sources, caused castration of the woman. The pill is only causing a temporal castration, so to say. It causes only, it's a reversible process. And if the cup of root that causes permanent castration was permissible in dangerous situations to the woman, then certainly the pill, in principle, is permissible, and therefore there is no inherent halachic prohibition to use the pill. The problem, however, with the pill is dual. One is that it has dangers, as we heard earlier. There are certain dangers involved in using pills. I'm not sure that using the pill for halachic infertility or for delaying the menstruation of a kala in order for her to be sure to have the not to have chupat nida falls in the same category of danger, because it's a short period of time and for a very specific time period. Here we are talking about a woman who will take it for months, maybe for years. That really, if there is danger involved, that is where we have to be worried about it. And the second problem is the intermenstrual bleeding, which was very prevalent at the time when the pills were invented, and then most poskim felt that the pill should not be used because it causes intermenstrual bleeding. So either there will be interrelationship during the time of Nida, or it will cause no relationship, which again is against mitzvah or na, and therefore it was looked very badly. But nowadays, in most instances, physicians can give the right combination of the hormones to the right woman and not have this intermenstrual bleeding. And therefore, if we eliminate the medical complications and the intermenstrual bleeding, by itself, if there is enough of a reason to use contraceptives, the pill would be something permissible halachically. Another method of contraception is the IUD, the intrauterine device. Again, it seems like, as far as we understand the process of contraception by the IUD, that there is no inherent halachic prohibition to use this method. However, it is not clear to this day how the IUD prevents pregnancy. Is it by not allowing the fertilized egg to implant in the uterine wall, or is it by taking out the implanted fertilized egg from the womb? If it is the first method, then certainly there are no halachic questions, because there was never a pregnancy yet, and therefore it's a good contraceptive method. If the mechanism is that the fertilized egg was implanted and the intrauterine device takes it away, it might be considered a form of abortion, because it already started the pregnancy and the device interrupts it. But even if that would be the process, according to most poskim, that is so early in the process of pregnancy that if we don't do it actively, it should not be called abortion, and therefore most poskim allow the use of IUD from a basic halachic principle. But again, there are medical complications to the IUD, and there is intramenstrual bleeding due to the IUD, and you have to take it into account for individual women if this is the right thing to do. So again, if there is a legitimate halachic reason to delay pregnancy, IUD would be an acceptable method. This is on the woman's side. Now, on the male side, although there are similar devices to the condom on the women's side, but that's very rarely used, but on the male side, using a condom in order to prevent pregnancy is inherently prohibited, because by using the condom, the male is violating the prohibition of hotzat zera levatala, because the semen is not going into the right place. And that, by definition, is hashchatat zera. So therefore, every relationship with a condom is violating hotzat zera levatala, which is a grave sin, and therefore it should never be used. There are some discussions in conditions where the woman is in serious danger if she will become pregnant, and none of the other contraceptive methods can be used for her for medical reasons, and that is the only way to use, would it be permissible? In other words, would pikuach, a real pikuach nefesh of the woman override the prohibition of emission semen for not? Most poskim disagree even in these conditions. Some allow it with some variations, such as making a little hole in the condom so that it will not impregnate the woman, but technically it's not totally hotzat zera levatala because some of the zera will anyway come out. That is where some of the poskim would allow it with this added caveat. There are other mechanisms, interestingly, modern mechanisms that have, again, some similarities to what the Talmud already talks about. The diaphragm is a technical barrier between the semen and the entrance into the womb. In the Talmud, that was a very frequently used method. They used cotton. They put, they stuffed cotton into the woman, and they, by that, they technically, buried the entrance of the semen, which is what the diaphragm is doing. However, the diaphragm, again, is better than the cotton of the days of the Talmud, because the cotton of the days of the Talmud filled the whole vagina. And therefore, there was a question of hotzat zera levatala again, because it didn't come to the right place right away. Whereas the diaphragm usually only covers the cervix, and the whole vagina is free, and some of the poskim feel that that would not be constituted hotzat zera levatala, because it comes into the right place, although it doesn't enter to the right place. So, this is a debatable way. Spermicidals, again, by pure Hebrew, you would say that is the worst thing to do, because what is a spermicide? It kills the sperm. And if you're not allowed to kill a sperm, ashchatat zera, how can you use it? But again, it's not the killing of the sperm that is the halachic prohibition. The halachic prohibition is how the sperm was emitted. And once it was emitted correctly, the fact that later it's being killed has nothing to do with the prohibition of hotzat zera levatala. And again, we have some similar sources in the Talmud that probably work in a similar way to the modern spermicidals and were not prohibited by halacha, by the Talmudic sages. Coitus interruptus is the worst method that we can think of. That is Maaseh Er ve'Onan. That is exactly where Er ve'Onan were killed for doing it, that they did it in this method, and that by all poskim is regarded as hotza'at zera levatala and is not permissible even if the woman is in real danger to become, if she becomes pregnant, and you must look for other methods. The rhythm method is obviously something that is the best from a halachic point of view. You don't really interfere with anywhere, you just cohabit at certain times where you assume that there is no ovulation, and at that time pregnancy will not occur, and it really fulfills all the precepts that are important in a relationship between a husband and wife, except for the basic problem that you don't procreate. But that's your purpose, not to procreate in this particular time. The shortage of this method is that it depends on a lot of knowledge of the woman, and it has a high rate of failure, and if the woman indeed is in danger, we don't want to give her a method that would endanger her. So therefore, practically speaking, it's probably not the best method, but halachically speaking, it is the preferred one. So looking into all these methods, and obviously there are some others, but I just chose the more frequent ones, how do you prioritize when you need to use contraceptives? So from a halachic point of view, you should use a contraceptive that is free of medical complications and of intermenstrual bleeding. You should use a contraceptive that is as effective as possible. Remember, we are using contraceptive because the woman is in some danger. So you want to make sure that she doesn't enter into the danger. Therefore, you should use something which is very effective. And it should not interfere with the normal sexual relationship, because mitzvat onah and the way that a couple lives is a biblical obligation, and therefore it should be done properly and normally, and it should not be a way of omitting semen for not, and therefore you should take all these into account and make your prioritization. When do we use those? Well, the list that I show you here is according to some of the poskim. Not all agree to the hierarchy that I'm giving you now, but I think most poskim would agree that the pill for appropriate women that from a medical point of view are safe enough and don't experience intermenstrual bleeding is the preferred method. After that comes either the diaphragm and spermicidals or the IUD and the diaphragm. The condom is out, the coitus interruptus is out, and if a woman can't have either of them, then it's really a serious question that has to be presented to a poisek. Thank you very much. Well, so I said that is, again, something that is a danger to the woman, either becoming pregnant or becoming infected by AIDS. Some poskim would say that if the husband is an AIDS carrier or sick with AIDS, there is no other way but to get divorced because you can't use the condom to prevent it. Other rabbis allow it with this little change of doing a little hole so that it won't be entirely hotzat zera levatala. And it seems to be safe enough if the hole is small on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's not totally hotzat zera levatala. But there, I think the majority of the rabbis would not allow even that, and there's no option. No problem at all. No restrictions. They are not mechuyav in piriyav v'rivya. We don't care that they shouldn't procreate. And omitting semen is not a prohibition to a non-Jew. This is one of the questions that we dealt last night, that there are no simple answers to it. I mean, the simple answer is, don't do it. Send her to your next door neighbor doctor. He should take care of her. But it's not, yeah, but it's not always so simple. And I think you have to use the fifth Shulchan Aruch. I mean, we have problems of other ways. Let's say a minor, a young girl, not married, and you know that she's using it for the wrong reasons altogether. Not only not to become pregnant for wrong reasons, but to do something wrong with your prescription. And that is even ethically a problem. What do you do then? Forget about halacha. You know she is 16 and she comes to you, don't tell my parents that I came to you, and she's allowed to do it by law, and I want you to subscribe me a pill, and you know why she wants it. And you know that is wrong. What do you do then? So, there are problems. It's not easy to be a physician. In principle, yes. It's not an acceptable reason not to have children because of financial problems. Because it's a very tricky argument. What do you mean by financial problems? For instance, we know a lot of people in the state of Tel Aviv. You know, that's a different state than Israel. They have a son and a dog, and they have financial problems to have another son or another daughter, right? So they argue we can't have any more children because we have to support a child and a dog. Is that a financial problem? So financial problem is a very relative term. Now, if it is an absolute term, so that the children will suffer and the couple will suffer and the newborn will suffer, there's real hunger and poverty, yes, that's a legitimate reason. But if you say, I can't buy the next Mercedes because I'll have another child, and that's a financial problem, that would be invalid. So it's not black and white, obviously. Excuse me? Yeah, if you have already fulfilled the mitzvah of Purvu, you have a son and a daughter, and now you're obligated to have more because of Lotobra or Erev Al Tanach Yadcha, which are a lesser obligation, then such considerations come into account, but you have to be sincere with it. You have to really realize that it is a problem. It's not that you want to live more conveniently and you call it a financial problem, which is, but not sufficiently. Well, I said that castration for women is of a lesser degree than castration for male, because according to most poskim, a male castration is biblically prohibited, a female castration is only rabbinically prohibited. So if the allowed methods can't be used for the woman, and there is a sufficiently serious reason for her not to become pregnant, then tuba ligation is a permissible act. Well, that's debatable according to the poskim. There are some poskim who say yes, you can give them a little time to get used to themselves, to build their relationship and their home, and wait a little bit. And some say that's why you got married. You got married to have children. So, but it's a debatable question whether it's a valid reason. Now, I think you should understand that contraception with the methods that halachically inherently are not posing a problem are of a much lesser problem from a halachic point of view than, for instance, abortion. So let's say you have a couple that, for whatever reason, they don't want to have now children. And if you won't let them use contraceptives, and coincidentally, the woman will become pregnant, and you know she'll go for an abortion because they don't know each other enough and they don't want now a child, that might be, from a sensical point of view, from the fifth Shulchan Aruch point of view, a reason to let them do it, because it's preferable to do something which is by itself permissible, rather than having them enter into a situation that they'll do something which is absolutely not permissible. So, again, it's a casuistry approach. You have to look at each couple as it's...
Is there a difference between a condom?
Well, a female condom is probably very similar to the diaphragm, which is a form of a female condom, in a way. The difference is that the diaphragm is placed very deep inside, whereas the regular, whatever they have now as a female condom, is quite outside. So if it's right at the entrance, then there's no difference. It doesn't make any difference if the semen is emitted for not because it's blocked at the male side or at the female side. So you need to have enough space so that the emission goes into the right place, and then it doesn't work. So that is the difference, not whether it's on this side or that side.
Well, I'm asking it just because there would be no actual contact in that case. The diaphragm was, you know, contact between the actual semen and the vaginal mucosa. As far as it, you know, being deep, in other words, allowing penetration, I don't think that there's a problem with the female condom.
No, it's not the penetration, it's where you're emitting the semen. Yeah, but in a diaphragm, you're emitting the semen in the hole of the vagina, where you do it usually. It just doesn't penetrate into the uterus. Whereas if you block it closer to the entrance and you just emit on it, that is exactly like a male condom. So these would be the differences. Until the mother-in-law will say enough. Well, if the woman is single and looking for a career and getting married late, then from a procreation point of view, she was not obligated to have children at any time. So from this point of view, she can do her career and get married later. Problem with that is that if she gets married too late, she can't have any more children. That's why today society has invented egg preservation at an age where the eggs are still there, so that when the woman will become 40, 45 and deciding finally to get married, she still can have children of her own. But if she's married already at a young age and she doesn't want to have children because she is pursuing a career, then her husband can't fulfill his procreation obligation. So that won't be helpful. Right. Because, okay. So there's no black and white definition of spacing, but the talk is between a year and 2 years between the children. There's a famous story of Avshalom Zalman Auerbach that in his early days in Tveria, there was a non-frum gynecologist who pushed the frum women to have a child after a child after a child. And they asked him, why do you do it? He said, because I hate them and I want them to be sick and I want them to die early. So he said, you see from here that to have too many children and not giving the woman enough time to recuperate is a way that you can kill her. You can really cause her a lot of damage. So spacing is a medical indication, not to preserve the health of the woman. Again, it's not saying that if she has 3-4 children, one after the other, she necessarily will die. But it imposes a lot of health problems on the women, and therefore that is a valid reason.
Thank you very much, Professor Steinberg. I suspect there are many